If I were to ask you to name the most lucrative, highly sought-after IT careers in the world right now, your mind would probably go straight to, the usual suspects.
Right, yeah, like artificial intelligence engineers in Silicon Valley.
Exactly. Or maybe cybersecurity architects fighting off state-sponsored hackers, or developers building the next decentralized finance protocol. You probably wouldn't think of configuring claims management software for property and casualty insurance.
I mean, let's be real. Just saying the words claims management software sounds completely devoid of glamour.
Totally. It conjures up images of, like, endless filing cabinets, fluorescent lighting, and just mountains of bureaucratic paperwork.
It entirely lacks the Hollywood appeal of stopping a global cyber attack. It sounds purely administrative.
But the reality is that this seemingly dry enterprise software is the hidden, roaring engine running a multi-billion-dollar global industry. And today, we are doing a deep dive into the underlying mechanics of one specific platform dominating this space, Guidewire Claim Center.
Yeah, and mastering the configuration and architecture of this platform is currently one of the absolute hottest IT careers globally.
It really is. This is particularly true in India, where salaries for top-tier solution architects are pushing well past 60 lakh rupees. That's 60,000 a year.
Which is just wild. But when a highly specialized configuration skill commands that kind of premium in an already competitive enterprise IT market, there is a structural economic reason behind it.
Right.
Insurers are not paying 60 lakh a year for basic system administration. They are paying for the architectural expertise required to prevent catastrophic financial hemorrhage.
Okay, let's unpack this. To appreciate why configuring this platform is so incredibly valuable, we really have to look at the sheer scale of the legacy problem it solves.
Absolutely.
We're looking at an industry that is historically run on incredibly fragmented, paper-heavy processes and, like, siloed mainframes.
Oh, it was a mess. Before platforms like ClaimCenter established a unified workflow, a single auto accident claim was just a logistical nightmare scattered across half a dozen different, completely incompatible systems.
Like a really disorganized, leaky bucket brigade trying to put out a house fire.
That's a perfect way to describe it. You have to picture the operational reality of those legacy systems. A customer gets into a severe car accident, that initial phone call comes in, and the intake data is manually keyed into a green screen mainframe running COBOL logic from the 1980s.
Yikes. The 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, that system handles the intake, but it doesn't natively communicate with the financial system that actually prints the settlement checks.
Of course not.
And it definitely doesn't communicate with third-party medical billing systems. It lacks any sophisticated, automated integration with fraud detection algorithms. The entire workflow relies on human adjusters acting as the integration layer.
So they're just, what, manually exporting data and emailing spreadsheets around?
Exactly. Exporting data, rekeying financial figures across disconnected islands of information.
And that manual data transit is where the fundamental business risk lives. I mean, every time a human being has to manually move a financial figure from an intake system to a payment system, you introduce the probability of error.
A huge probability. And ClaimCenter completely replaces that fragmented nightmare with a configurable, rules-driven workflow that manages the entire lifecycle of the claim within a single unified data model.
Right, like an automated precision sprinkler system instead of that leaky bucket brigade.
Yes. The lifecycle mapped out in the underlying training frameworks for these systems shows a highly automated progression. It starts with the FNOL intake first notice of loss across multiple channels. So mobile app, web portal, or traditional phone agent.
And then the system hits the rules engine, right?
Exactly. The rules engine handles the immediate managerial triage without human intervention. The moment the FNOL is logged, the system automatically runs policy verification against the central database to ensure the specific peril is actually covered under the active policy terms.
Okay, so it checks if you're actually insured for what just happened.
Right. And once coverage is validated, assignment routing logic ticks in. The platform analyzes the severity of the claim, the geographic location of the accident, and the current workload and specialty of every available adjuster, and automatically routes the file to the optimal desk.
Wow, so it operates like an algorithmic air traffic controller for crisis management.
That's exactly what it does. And then it moves into the financial mechanisms, which is where the return on investment for the software actually materializes.
Right, because this is where the money is.
Exactly. The system automatically calculates and establishes the initial financial reserves based on historical data for similar accidents. It locks down those reserves, tracks every single microtransaction against them, and enforces strict hierarchical authority limits on who can approve payouts.
So no one is just writing blank checks?
No, absolutely not. And it also manages the entire recovery and subrogation process.
Subrogation being when they try to get their money back, right?
Right. Like, if the insurer pays out for a totaled vehicle, but the accident was the other driver's fault, ClaimCenter tracks the litigation and recovery of those funds from the at-fault driver's insurance down to tracking the salvage value of the wrecked car at the junk yard.
That's incredibly granular. But all of those automated controls are really designed to eliminate a massive industry problem known as leakage, aren't they?
Yeah, leakage is capital bleeding out of the insurance company through inefficiency.
Like a leaky bucket.
Exactly. It's funds lost to overpayments because an adjuster misread a policy limit, human error during manual data entry, missed subrogation opportunities because a file sat on a desk too long, or outright fraud that wasn't flagged.
So insurers are investing tens of millions of dollars into these Guidewire implementations specifically to plug that leakage.
Precisely. By automating routine triage, enforcing rigid financial controls, and accelerating the settlement timeline, the software stops the financial bleeding. And it ensures rigorous compliance with government regulators because every single keystroke is audited and tracked.
Okay, so the system acts as an automated precision sprinkler system for financial risk. But, you know, a highly automated sprinkler system is useless if the water pipes burst under the pressure of a massive event.
Oh, for sure.
So how does the underlying architecture actually handle the processing load of, say, 50,000 claims hitting the servers in a single day during a major natural disaster without buckling?
What's fascinating here is how cleanly the architecture separates the operational layers of the software to ensure both stability and maintainability.
Okay.
ClaimCenter utilizes a very strict multi-tier architecture. It heavily isolates the presentation layer, the business logic layer, and the database layer from one another.
The presentation layer being the user interface that the adjusters actually interact with on their screens, which relies on page configuration files or PCFs, right?
Yes, the PCFs control the web-based UI. Then you have the business logic layer, which houses the complex rules governing the insurance products. And underneath it all is the relational database layer.
So they don't tangle with each other.
Right. Because these tiers are decoupled, an insurer can completely overhaul a user screen in the PCF, adding new fields, changing layouts, implementing new type lists to restrict data entry options, without risking any cascading failures in the core database or the underlying business rules.
And those type lists are pretty important from what I gather.
Oh, the type lists are highly critical for data integrity. By forcing adjusters to select from controlled, predefined dropdowns rather than using free text fields for things like cause of loss, the system guarantees the structured data necessary for the downstream predictive analytics to function correctly.
Makes sense. If someone types car crash and someone else types auto accident, the computer doesn't know it's the same thing.
Exactly. But the most significant architectural component, and the one developers spend the vast majority of their time in, is the proprietary programming language used in that middle tier. It's called Gosu.
Now, I want to look critically at the reliance on Gosu. This is a proprietary, object-oriented language developed specifically by Guidewire to handle their business rules.
It is.
From an architectural standpoint, utilizing a proprietary language instead of universal standard like Java or Python seems incredibly risky.
It's definitely a bold choice.
Hey, why does Guidewire use its own proprietary language like Gosu instead of just relying on standard Java? Doesn't creating a specialized language artificially limit the talent pool of available developers and introduce severe long-term vendor lock-in for the insurance company?
That's a really common critique.
I mean, if an insurer builds 10 million lines of custom business logic in Gosu, they are permanently tethered to the Guidewire ecosystem. Why wouldn't they just demand a system built on standard Java?
Well, the vendor lock-in is a very real strategic trade-off, and it is precisely the dynamic that drives the massive salaries we are seeing for developers who specialize in this platform.
Ah, supply and demand.
Exactly. Insurers accept the lock-in because standard general-purpose languages like Java are highly verbose and inefficient when forced to natively parse the extreme hierarchical complexity of insurance data models.
So Java is just too clunky for this specific job.
Right. Standard Java requires massive amounts of boilerplate code to constantly define and redefine the relationships between policies, deductibles, exposures, and jurisdictional regulations. Gosu was engineered from the ground up to handle this specific domain natively.
Oh, I see.
It deeply integrates with the Guidewire entity model, allowing developers to execute highly complex insurance logic with a fraction of the code that standard Java would require.
So using standard Java to write complex insurance rules is essentially like trying to write a nuanced legal contract using only emojis.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Like, you can technically force it to work, but the process is agonizingly slow, incredibly clunky, and highly prone to misinterpretation. So Gosu functions like having a specialized legal dictionary built directly into the compiler.
Precisely. It inherently understands what a deductible or a coverage limit is and how they relate to a specific exposure without the developer having to manually define those relationships from scratch every single time they write a rule.
That's huge.
That native understanding accelerates the configuration timeline immensely once the developer overcomes the initial learning curve of the language syntax. And another massive component of how this architecture handles the sheer volume of enterprise data without collapsing the UI during business hours is its heavy reliance on batch processing.
Okay, batch processing.
Yeah, ClaimCenter is not purely a real-time system. Optimization requires offloading the heaviest computational burdens to automated background jobs that run overnight.
So I imagine we aren't just talking about basic database backups here. These nightly batch jobs are likely executing massive system-wide financial recalculations while the adjusters are asleep, ensuring the ledger balances by the time the offices open at 8 a.m.
Exactly. The batch processing handles the heavy lifting of enterprise financial management. These jobs sweep through the database, recalculating financial reserves across hundreds of thousands of open claims based on new daily data inputs. They escalate stagnant claims that haven't met regulatory touchpoint requirements. They generate and dispatch automated legal correspondence, and they extract massive, structured data payloads for the corporate accounting and actuarial departments.
So they're essentially doing the work of 1,000 accountants overnight.
Pretty much. If those nightly batch processes are improperly configured and fail to execute, the adjusters log in the next morning to complete operational chaos. The books don't balance, the automated letters haven't fired, and the escalation routing is frozen.
It's all connected. But, you know, this robust multi-tier architecture running native Gosu logic and heavy batch processing still has one major vulnerability.
What's that?
It doesn't operate in a vacuum. I mean, a perfectly configured claim system is useless if it doesn't know what the customer actually purchased. ClaimCenter is just one module within the broader Guidewire Insurance Suite ecosystem, sitting alongside PolicyCenter and BillingCenter.
That's absolutely true. The integration between those core applications is the lifeblood of the operation. PolicyCenter handles the quoting, binding, and issuance of the insurance contracts. BillingCenter handles the invoicing, premium collection, and commission calculations.
Right.
ClaimCenter relies entirely on the data housed in those two sister applications to function.
To visualize the mechanics of this ecosystem, I like to think of the insurance company as a high-volume restaurant.
Okay, I like this.
So, PolicyCenter is the host at the front door. They greet the customer, review the menu of available coverages, provide the quote, and take the initial order, establishing exactly what the customer is buying.
Makes sense.
BillingCenter is simply the cashier. They don't really care about the nuances of the order. Their only function is generating the invoice and ensuring the money hits the ledger. ClaimCenter is the kitchen. It is where the chaotic, messy reality of the service actually happens. When an accident occurs, the kitchen is scrambling to deal with the immediate crisis, chopping the vegetables, cooking the meat, and getting the finished plate out the door. But for the kitchen to function, it has to communicate flawlessly with the host and the cashier.
That communication relies heavily on an API-first integration strategy. Developers build and maintain complex REST APIs utilizing JSON payloads, alongside older SOTY web services using XML to facilitate real-time data exchange between the systems.
So they're constantly talking to each other.
Exactly. When a new claim hits the kitchen, ClaimCenter fires an immediate API call to PolicyCenter to verify that the specific policy the host sold actually covers the exact peril that just occurred. But they also utilize asynchronous messaging protocols, specifically Apache Kafka, for event-driven communication.
Here's where it gets really interesting,
yeah.
Because the asynchronous messaging prevents total system gridlock.
Yeah, it's a lifesaver.
Because if ClaimCenter uses synchronous APIs to talk to PolicyCenter, and PolicyCenter happens to be down for a 3-minute maintenance window, the claim data could simply drop into a void, resulting in a lost file.
Which is a nightmare.
Right. By utilizing Apache Kafka, ClaimCenter drops the JSON payload containing the claim data into a Kafka topic queue. It doesn't matter if Policy Center is offline. Kafka holds on to that message with absolute persistence. The exact millisecond Policy Center spins back up, Kafka delivers the message, no data is lost, and the kitchen doesn't burn down just because the host stepped away from the podium.
The resilience of that event-driven architecture is critical, especially because the entire global insurance industry is currently executing a massive architectural paradigm shift. They are abandoning the on-premise, self-managed servers in the corporate basement and migrating the entire ecosystem to the Guidewire Cloud platform.
Moving to the cloud.
Yes. We are looking at a transition to a true cloud-native delivery model.
And the underlying technology stack for that cloud delivery shifts dramatically from traditional server management. You're dealing with containerized infrastructure, using Docker and Kubernetes to manage the application instances, and leveraging CI/CD pipelines to automate the testing and deployment of code updates.
Exactly. And the cloud infrastructure provides elastic scalability. If a Category 5 hurricane strikes a coastal region, generating an unprecedented 50,000 claims in a 48-hour window, the Kubernetes clusters automatically provision additional compute resources to handle the massive load spike without degrading system performance for the adjusters.
So it scales up when it needs to.
Right. But the actual migration to this cloud environment moving an enterprise from a legacy mainframe to the Guidewire Cloud presents the most severe technical risk of the entire lifecycle.
Mm-hmm.
The data migration process is incredibly volatile.
The ETL processes, the extract, transform, and load mapping have to be absolutely flawless. I mean, you are taking millions of historical claims, many stored in archaic, undocumented data structures from 30 years ago, and mapping them onto the modern Guidewire entity model.
It's terrifying.
Let's look at how easily that mapping can fail. A legacy COBOL mainframe might store a litigation status simply as a Y or N string in a flat file.
Right.
Guidewire requires that status to map to a highly specific relational type list referencing external legal counsel. If the ETL script misinterprets that string during the transformation phase, the system might accidentally authorize an automatic payout on a claim that was supposed to be completely frozen for a massive fraud investigation.
Exactly. A single misaligned column in an ETL script can corrupt the financial reserves for thousands of historical claims, throwing the entire corporate ledger out of compliance and triggering severe regulatory audits.
That's game over.
It really is. The data validation and cleansing required before the final go-live cutover requires thousands of hours of meticulous engineering and testing.
Which brings the conversation directly to the economics of the human talent required to pull this off. Designing the Kubernetes clusters, writing the proprietary Gosu logic, building the Kafka event streaming pipelines, and managing those terrifyingly complex ETL data migrations requires a highly specialized workforce.
The massive undertaking.
This convergence of technical difficulty and massive enterprise risk perfectly explains the explosive job market in India right now.
Absolutely. India has positioned itself as the dominant global delivery engine for these specific Guidewire implementations. Major IT hubs like Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, and Chennai are the epicenters of this specialized talent pool.
The demand must be off the charts.
Oh, it is. And the demand is twofold. You have the global consulting firms and system integrators, Accenture, Cognizant, Deloitte, Capgemini, running massive multi-year cloud migration programs for clients in North America and Europe. But simultaneously, the domestic Indian property and casualty market is modernizing rapidly, driven by strict digitization mandates from the IRDAI.
Because the supply of developers who actually understand this niche architecture is so constrained, and the demand from these massive integrators is essentially infinite right now, the compensation curves are staggering.
Oh, they're breaking all the usual bands.
A fresh graduate entering this specific ecosystem can command 4 to 7 lakh immediately. Mid-level developers jump to 8 to 15 lakh. Senior engineers are pulling 16 to 28 lakh, and the solution architects designing the cloud infrastructure and ETL pipelines are easily commanding 35 to 60 lakh, and frequently more, for specialized cloud expertise.
It's true, but you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the barrier to entry commanding those 60 lakh salaries is not simply the ability to memorize Gosu syntax or configure a PCF file.
Wait, really? The source says someone can get job-ready configuration skills in just 3 to 5 months with structured training. If it's that fast to learn, why is there still such a massive talent shortage driving these high salaries?
Because syntax can be learned in a few months of structured training, yeah.
Yeah.
The actual differentiator in the market, the reason these architects are paid like elite specialists, is deep insurance domain knowledge.
Ah. They have to understand the business mechanics, not just the code base.
Exactly. A developer who only understands code is a liability on a Guidewire project.
Interesting.
Knowing how to program a financial rule in Gosu is entirely useless if you do not fundamentally understand the regulatory implications of that rule. A top-tier architect understands the real-world mechanics of a subrogation lifecycle. They understand why a financial reserve must be locked down tight for statutory compliance, and they understand how an exposure relates to a specific peril in a commercial policy.
So they're almost like insurance adjusters who know how to code.
Very much so. When you deeply understand the domain, when you know how the insurance business actually generates revenue and mitigates risk, the architectural and configuration decisions become intuitive. The professionals pulling down these massive salaries are hybrid techno-functional experts.
They are the developers who understand the technical limitations of the kitchen, the exact pricing structure of the host, and the ledger requirements of the cashier, all simultaneously.
Perfect way to sum it up.
And because the proprietary nature of Gosu creates that intense vendor login, once an insurer adopts this platform, they are committed for decades. That guarantees a steady, unyielding stream of complex migration and maintenance projects, offering a level of long-term career stability that is incredibly rare in the highly volatile, broader IT sector.
It's a very secure path.
So what does this all mean? If we zoom out, ClaimCenter is not merely administrative software. It is the central operational nervous system of modern P&C insurance. It replaces chaotic, leaky bucket brigades with precision, automated financial architecture.
Yep.
It combines a highly decoupled, multi-tier ecosystem driven by proprietary Gosu logic with a massive industry-wide shift toward cloud-native elasticity. And for the engineers willing to master both the complex architectural mechanisms and the nuanced realities of the insurance business, it offers an incredibly lucrative career trajectory.
And you know, the platform architecture is constantly evolving to handle higher levels of complexity. The operational trajectory is pointed directly toward advanced intelligence and machine learning integration.
Of course, AI is entering the chat.
Always. We are entering an era of heavy AI-powered automation within the core workflow. For low-complexity, high-frequency losses, for example, a minor cracked windshield where the policyholder uploads high-resolution photos directly from their smartphone, the platform architecture is shifting toward straight-through processing.
The system is designed to entirely bypass the human adjuster desk.
Completely. The API microservices will ingest the telemetry and image data, utilize predictive machine learning models to instantly verify the damage, run the claim through external fraud detection algorithms, calculate the exact repair estimate, and issue the digital payment directly to the repair shop, completing the entire lifecycle in minutes rather than days.
That's wild.
And the architects who will command the highest premiums in the next decade are the ones who can seamlessly integrate those external AI models directly into the core Gosu rules engine.
Which leaves us with a truly fascinating and maybe a slightly unsettling reality to consider.
Yeah.
If the architecture is aggressively pivoting toward AI-powered automation and predictive analytics to achieve straight-through processing, how long will it be before an integrated algorithm, rather than a human adjuster, is making the final, unappealable decision on whether your complex auto accident claim is paid or denied, based entirely on an invisible, automated risk assessment?
It's definitely coming.
The precision sprinkler system is developing a mind of its own, and it's definitely something to think about the next time you have to file a claim.